Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, and reads as follows. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake unto them, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, God has blessed all of us richly, fully satisfying all of our needs, giving us so much more than we really need to make us comfortable and happy in this life. He has bountifully bestowed upon us many earthly blessings to support our bodily needs, and we should be very thankful for those things. But we should not fall in love with those earthly blessings. God warns us about falling in love with the things of this world. We read in the first epistle of John, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Since God tells us not to fall in love with the things of this world, our main focus should definitely not be earthly things. Our main goal in life should not be to make a lot of money and accumulate a lot of earthly treasures. So also when we're talking to our children about goals that they should be setting for their lives, we should definitely remind them that making a lot of money should not be their top priority. We should teach them and show them by our words and our example, that growing in faith and spiritual wisdom is much more important than growing in earthly wealth. We should also clearly understand that the things of this world present a very powerful temptation to our flesh. It can easily draw the heart away from God. As we heard in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon are earthly treasures. Accordingly, even we Christians need to be aware of the serious spiritual dangers connected with great amounts of earthly wealth. And since the Lord wants us to continue in the saving Christian faith, and to enter into everlasting life in heaven when we die, we see that our Savior warns us in our text today about the danger and foolishness of trusting in riches. In the first place, he teaches us that worldly wealth can ensnare the heart. And secondly, that worldly wealth cannot give eternal security or lasting happiness. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. At the beginning of our text, we learn about a man who came to Jesus for help. Now, Jesus had always shown himself to be very helpful. But this man was asking for a kind of help that Jesus had never given, a kind of help that Jesus had no intention of giving even now. This man wanted Jesus to help him get his way in a dispute that he was having with his brother about how to divide the father's inheritance. We read in our text, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" With those words, Jesus simply refused to help the man with his request. Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins and everlasting damnation in hell. He did not come into this world to help people increase the money in their bank account or help them increase in earthly possessions. And he certainly didn't want people coming to him asking him for that kind of help. Sadly, many modern preachers advance a prosperity theology, saying that it is God's desire for his followers to have an abundance of earthly riches. They even say that if you are a good Christian, you definitely will be wealthy. And if you're not, that shows that you're not living a God-pleasing life. So they say that health and earthly wealth is a sign of God's pleasure, whereas sickness and poverty is a sign of his displeasure. The so-called friends of Job made the same kind of false judgment when they observed him suffering so much and accused him of committing terrible sins against God. And obviously Job was a sinner, as all humans are, but he wasn't guilty of those blatant sins that those three friends accused him of committing, simply because they saw him suffer. The Bible makes it very clear that true believers will often be poor in this life, and the unbelievers will often have great wealth here on earth. But why? Why would God give an abundance of earthly blessings to unbelievers, to those who are really wicked people? The Bible actually sets forth two different reasons for that. And these two reasons align with his primary and secondary will. His primary will is that all people be saved through faith in Christ. His secondary will is that all those who reject his grace in Christ be damned. It is God's will that the unbelievers see his undeserved loving kindness toward them, admit their unworthiness, and repent. St. Paul refers to this point when he writes in his letter to the Romans, "Despisest thou the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" But for those who continue in stubborn opposition to God, despising his grace in Christ Jesus, the abundance of earthly wealth works as a snare, a curse, attaching their hearts more firmly to that which cannot save them, until their life is finally cut off and they're condemned to eternal destruction in hell. In Psalm 73, we read the words of the prophet Asaph. He says, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. And we see that point illustrated by the Lord Jesus in the parable that comes later in our text for today. Obviously, God does not want us to become so spiritually ensnared by the things of this world. So he tells us to watch out for the sin of covetousness. Again, covetousness is the desire to have what does not rightfully belong to you. Our text says, "And he," Jesus, "said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Too often people feel like they need something that they do not currently have. They need more money, or they need something that they could buy if they only had more money. Never underestimate the power that money and earthly treasures, mammon, can have tugging at the heart. If you do not fight against such temptations, if you instead nurse the love of money, the service of mammon, those things will pull your heart away from God. This is why Jesus tells us in our text, beware of covetousness. It is an extremely dangerous thing. In the parable of the sower, Jesus used the example of plants choked out by thorns and compares that to how the word of God is choked out in a person's heart when he is drawn away by the love of money. In Mark chapter 4, we read, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word of God, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." When Jesus says in our text, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth," he's emphasizing the fact that worldly wealth is not that which preserves a person's life. It is also not that which actually brings a person happiness in life. Not even earthly happiness. Earthly happiness is bound up in being content. And the things of this world can never really satisfy man's sinful flesh and make him content. No, man in his old sinful flesh always wants more, no matter how much he has. So a person whose God is money and earthly possessions will never be truly happy with such things, because he'll never be truly content. Now, even we Christians have to watch out for such temptations. Though, really, you and I, as Christians, should be content with what God's given us, because he's given us so much more than we deserve, so much more than we need, really. The Bible instructs all of us, saying, "Having food and raiment," raiment is clothing, "let us be therewith content." Yes, even if all we had was food and clothes and nothing else, the Bible says, we should be content. Because really, we Christians have much more than that. We Christians have the saving knowledge of Christ in the gospel, which assures us of God's love and care every second of our lives. And beyond that, it gives us the promise of everlasting life in heaven when this earthly life is through. as we Christians have much more than enough to keep us happy, to keep us content, to make us rejoice in the Lord and His love, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're in good health or sickness, even if we're fast approaching the hour of our death. Now, unbelievers typically fear death. Not all unbelievers do, though. And that is because they are deluding or deceiving themselves into thinking that everything will be fine. But really, all unbelievers should fear death. Because when they die, the time of grace is over for them. And they then face the eternal consequences of their sins and unbelief. Death, judgment, eternal condemnation in hell will befall all those who reject God's saving grace in Christ. No matter how much money they have, no matter how many earthly treasures they've accumulated. To illustrate this point, Jesus told a parable about a man who foolishly thought that just because he was exceptionally wealthy, nothing could stop him from enjoying life to the fullest. He did not even consider the possibility that his life would end that very night. We read, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The man in this parable had more food than he knew what to do with. But instead of taking the food that he couldn't store and helping people with it, feeding the poor, helping the needy, no, he decided to build new, bigger storage facilities. And what was his purpose for that? It was not to have extra food in case of a future emergency, like Joseph wisely advised the Egyptians to do, to store up extra grain during their years of plenty so they'd have food during their years of famine. No, his master plan was simply to stop working altogether and enjoy life indulging in fleshly laziness, doing nothing but eating, drinking, and making merry. How ironic it was then, and justly fitting, that this man's life was brought to an end that very night. All his fleshly dreams that gave him so much excitement and pleasure were brought to a crashing end in an unexpected instant. The man was dead. And who exactly is pictured here in the parable? Jesus says that this is a picture of anyone whose heart is fixed on earthly treasures instead of spiritual ones. So let us pray that that never becomes a picture of any of us. Now, everyone knows that a person, once he dies, is unable to take advantage of his money and earthly treasures. And everyone knows that a person cannot be kept alive indefinitely. So even the unbelievers should be able to see the futility, the stupidity of setting their hearts on earthly wealth. Of course, it is pure foolishness, as Jesus says, to set one's heart on earthly treasures that have no real lasting value instead of the treasures that are amazingly valuable, beyond earthly value, the treasures that God presents in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now that treasure, that is worth giving up everything for. The treasure that we Christians have through faith in Christ Jesus, that's worth more than all the treasures on earth. That treasure was secured for us by our Lord Jesus, by his perfect life, by his innocent suffering and death. Without those treasures, we would just be doomed to live our lives as enemies of God, and when we die, to be thrown into the pit of eternal fire. No earthly treasure can save a person's soul. But the treasure secured for us by Christ, that alone does save the soul from hell, give the promise of everlasting life in heaven. One of the ways its great value can be seen is in how much it costs the Lord Jesus to acquire it for us. In the first place, it caused Jesus to give up the riches of heaven, the power of God, and live a life of poverty and self-imposed weakness. He did that so that we could have the riches of heaven. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And in addition to living a life of poverty for us, Jesus gave up his life entirely to save us, suffering a very painful, unimaginably horrific death, even the pains of hell on the cross. The shedding of his innocent blood is what purchased our salvation. That is much more valuable than any amount of money. St. Peter writes in his first epistle, "Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." But even though those heavenly treasures cost the Lord Jesus so much, our gracious God gives them to us freely, without charge. We do not have to pay anything for them. We do not have to earn them. God gives us his grace and forgiveness freely. Yes, through the blood of Christ, we Christians are the forgiven children of God. We rest securely in his love and gracious care. With the protection and loving kindness of God surrounding us, we have no need to fear anything in this life. No thought of spiritual or bodily harm should distress us, because unlike worldly riches, which can give no eternal security, the heavenly treasures that God gives us in the gospel assure us of everlasting life in heaven for Jesus' sake. Yes, Jesus bought these treasures for us. He really bought them for all people. He shed his blood to save the whole world. God gives the gifts of his grace freely to all. But the great heavenly treasures secured by Christ are received only by faith. The unbelievers refuse the greatest treasure. Even though Jesus died for them, even though God for Jesus' sake gives his grace to them, they reject that wonderful treasure. As you and I live our lives here on earth, we need to beware of the danger of getting our hearts pulled away from God and following the path of the unbelievers. We need to beware of the temptation to follow the example of the man in our text, who laid up great earthly treasures for himself, but was spiritually bankrupt. Knowing that by faith in Jesus all our sins are forgiven, we are assured of God's loving care, let us be truly happy and content in what the Lord has given us, and confidently commit our lives to his safekeeping through his grace in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that really gives lasting happiness and security. We keep it the same way that we were first put into possession of it, through faith, worked in our hearts by the power of the gospel. So continue in his word. Continue to be rich in the spiritual blessings conveyed through the gospel. And then enter into heaven for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.